Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Fans, how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Mike, on this Monday, February the 4th, the day after the Super Bowl, and I'll talk about that at the end of the podcast, but this is a big day in the history of the Miami Dolphins, as this afternoon, the Miami Dolphins introduced Brian Flores as the 13th head coach in organization's history, and, you know, he is now the head coach to lead the Miami Dolphins in the future. And, you know, hopefully it will work out. And hopefully this is a move that will turn around the Miami Dolphins organization. But we got a lot to talk about here. Like I said, last night Flores was the defensive coordinator who absolutely shut down the high-powered Rams offense and held them to virtually nothing. And you think about the last two games that Brian Flores called as a defensive coordinator. He faced the number one offense in the league in Kansas City and the number two offense in the league in the Los Angeles Rams, and he shut them out in the first half of each game. Shut them out. And, you know, two big wins, and Flores now has a Super Bowl ring he can say he was a big part of. But the news is he is now the next head coach of the Miami Dolphins. It is official. There's no more maybe. Well, we got to wait. He is the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, and he can now shift his focus on the Miami Dolphins. His press conference, which we do have the full press conference in its entirety of Brian Flores speaking up on our website, DolphinsTalk.com. Everyone head to DolphinsTalk.com. You can watch the video. It's about 17 minutes of Brian Flores, his opening remarks, and then, of course, answering questions from the media. You know, the press conference, a couple things jump off the page. Number one, came exactly as advertised. Very much, I would say, a soft-spoken man, but he did sort of command the room when he spoke. He's not someone who's going to be over the top and colorful like a Pete Carroll or a Rex Ryan or a Mike Tomlin. He's not cut from that cloth. He's more cut from the, I have to meet with the media, I'm going to talk to the media, and then I'm going to move on to my next task. And he met with the media. He thanked everyone up in New England. He thanked the Miami Dolphins organization for handing him this opportunity. And he spoke a little bit about himself and his background and his core, what he believes in his core to how to win in this league as a football coach. And, you know, he answered the questions. He didn't give you much. He didn't give you much. He answered every question, but he didn't give you much. But that's okay. Look, as fans of this team, we're looking for a football coach that can win games. I'm not looking for a football coach that can give, you know, amazing speeches here to the media. So the press conference was good. Unlike with Adam Gase, he didn't make any crazy eyes, so that's a plus. Unlike with Adam Gase when he was introduced with the Jets, no crazy eyes. There's not going to be any memes online or anything. You know, Brian Flores came off as a professional who is more than ready to be head coach in this league. If there is any doubt that Brian Flores is he ready? Is, you know, what did he really do with the Patriots? Is this too big of a jump for him? The impression I got is that he is more than ready to be a head coach in the NFL. And I did a little, I don't want to call it rant, but I gave a little, I guess you'd call it a rant, on Twitter on Monday morning, just sort of sharing my thoughts on the hire here of Flores. And I'll just say it again once here for those of you who are not on social media. With Flores, I'm not upset with the hire. I'm very happy with the hire. I think out of all the first-time head coaches that were hired this offseason, whether it was with Cincinnati and all in every other spot, I think out of all those guys, he's the most ready. He's the most ready for this role, and I think he is more than prepared to be a head coach in the NFL. With that said, though, we've been down this road a million times in the past. We were down this road with Joe Philbin. We were down this road with Adam Gase. We were down this road with Tony Sperano. We were down this road with Cam Cameron. First-time head coaches who the Miami Dolphins are giving an opportunity to, who have a resume that is very good and that you can't question that they have worked their way up the ranks to earn this shot. And, you know, then they surround themselves with first-time, you know, coordinators and stuff like that. And, you know, you might get one great season here like we did with Tony Sperano, or one great season here like we did with Adam Gase. But aside from that, you know, these guys fell flat in their face. And that's why I can't get super excited about this. I know you're going to read some radio, or you're going to hear some guys on the radio down there in South Florida. You're going to hear guys on other podcasts. You're going to hear some guys who write a blog, or some of the reporters for the big newspapers down there who are going to just, you know, go over the top with praise for Flores. You know, this is the guy. He's the guy who's going to save the Dolphins. And, ooh, he hired this guy as his offensive coordinator. And, ooh, he hired that guy as his linebackers coach. And, ooh, look who his, you know, his secondary coach is. And they're going to go gaga for everything Flores does. And that's great. And I hope they're right. I hope they're right. But I'm in my early 40s now. I've seen this script countless times, and I do, I am more optimistic with Flores than I was with Philbin, Gase, Sperano, and Cam Cameron. So that's how I feel. I'm more optimistic with him right now in this role than I was with any of those other first-time head coaches. With that said, I'm not going to jump for joy here today, okay? I just can't, because it's like, until I see some results, it's like, it's just the same story. We're hiring a position coach or a coordinator, making him a first-time head coach. He is hiring, you know, position coaches and promoting them to coordinators, guys who have, you know, more, who have quality resumes and have worked their way up the ranks and deserve it. But, you know, we've been down this road before. And until I see some results, I just can't go nuts. I mean, there's some sites and there's some people out there, whether on social media or with the real media, who, you know, they're going to praise everything he does, Flores. They're going to praise everything he does. He can walk on water right now. Brian Flores can walk on water. And that's great. And again, I hope they're right. But I just can't do it right now, because I've seen this same script countless times, and it all has the same ending, where the guy's in over his head and he fails. Now, I'm not saying that's going to be Flores, because again, I do think he is more prepared than any of those other guys we fired. And I think he's sort of cut from a different cloth than those guys. He is just a nuts and bolts football guy. Cam Cameron, I don't know what the hell Cam Cameron was. Joe Philbin was like the creepy uncle who, you know, you handed him the keys to the house for the weekend and you didn't know what was going to happen. You had Adam Gase was the young gun who thought he was the smartest guy in the room when he clearly wasn't. And Tony Sperano was just all over the place. I mean, he really was just all over the place. He was just a screaming, fist-pumping nut. And I didn't think those guys were ready for this role. I think Flores is the most ready. So, I'm holding out hope. I got my fingers crossed. Like I said, out of all the first-time head coaches, and that's Vic Fangio with the Broncos, Freddie Kitchens with the Browns, you got Zach Taylor with Cincinnati, Arizona. With all the first-time head coaches, I think we got the best one. I really do. Now, we had to wait, but as I've been saying here for a month, I don't care how long we wait. I want the best guy. And I think out of that group of the first-time head coaches, we got the best guy for the job. So there's that. Like I said, we're just going to hope for the best. When it comes to his staff, there's a report out this Monday morning by Alex Marvez, who said that legendary defensive coordinator Dom Capers, who did spend time in Miami back in 06 and 07, if he doesn't get the Cincinnati Bengals defensive coordinator job, then he will take a role as a defensive assistant with Jacksonville or Miami. And according to Alex Marvez, he would think it would be Miami. So if Dom Capers does not get the defensive coordinator job for Cincinnati. Then he will become a senior defensive assistant, most likely with Miami. Most likely. So nothing's official. And again, senior defensive assistant. He's not going to be the coordinator. He's not going to be the coordinator. But having someone like Dom Capers on your staff is just priceless. Dom Capers is going to be 69 in August. That's why he's not going to be a coordinator. Most likely. Just age. Age. I mean, you had a certain age. And, you know, the role of head coach and the role of coordinator, you sort of, you know, phase yourself out. But to have someone like him on the staff, someone on the staff for Brian Flores to sort of pick his brain, and someone like Patrick Graham to pick his brain as a defensive coordinator is priceless. Dom Capers has seen it all. He has done it all. He has done everything as a head coach in this league, and specifically as a defensive coordinator in this league. So if the Miami Dolphins here can pull a little bit of a coup and somehow land Dom Capers as a senior defensive assistant coach to add to the staff, which is going to be a very young staff, that's, you know, that would be absolutely amazing. And I think the Miami Dolphins would be very, very lucky if that does happen to them. So we'll see. Once again, nothing's official, but Dom Capers may be coming to Miami. It was also reported by Alex Marvez that the Miami Dolphins are going to be taking assistant quarterbacks coach Jerry, and I know I'm not going to say this last name right, Jerry Schuplinski from New England to be the Miami Dolphins quarterbacks coach, which sort of contradicts an earlier story that Jim Caldwell would be the Miami Dolphins quarterbacks coach and sort of senior offensive assistant or like an assistant head coach. So Caldwell, we still think he'll be in Miami in some role, but as role as the quarterbacks coach, maybe not. So I'm sure starting today with this news that Flores has officially been hired, all this stuff with the assistant coaches is going to come fast and furious. It's going to come so fast and so furious that we're going to probably have a full staff. We'll know it 100% for certain probably by the end of the week. I think each day you're going to get 2, 3, 4 names sort of solidified in their roles, and we sort of know who the names are. And again, not going to get super excited over a position coach. You know, you can't be upset that you lost Rizzi and you got Crossman as your new special teams coach. You can't be upset about who a linebacker coach is. You can't get, you know, super excited that they're holding on to the running back. It's just position coaches, people. They're just position coaches. The only coaches that matter is head coach, your offensive coordinator, and your defensive coordinator. Get those three right, and I don't care who the linebacker's coach is. Honestly, I don't really care. And nor should you, because it's not that important. It's really not. So after the announcement of the hire, the NFL Network, they showed a little bit of the press conference, and you had Daniel Jeremiah, Charlie Casserly, and Terrell Davis sort of share their thoughts. And I have video of that up on my Twitter feed, at Dolphins Talk. Again, go to my Twitter feed, at Dolphins Talk, and I have video of Charlie Casserly, Daniel Jeremiah, and Terrell Davis talking about the hire of Flores. And, you know, they all praise the move. They think Flores is more than ready and more than capable. Charlie Casserly, tongue-in-cheek, said, if I'm the Miami Dolphins, I would go 0-16 and draft your quarterback at the top of the draft in 2019, which he's saying it tongue-in-cheek on the air. We've actually heard reports, not that they're going to go 0-16, that might actually be the plan. Not going to talk about that anymore today. We've spoken about that enough. And Daniel Jeremiah, who I thought had the most, I thought he made two great points, is that if you're in the Miami Dolphins right now with Brian Flores, it comes down to two P's. A, players. They don't have any. You got to get some. And B, patience. They need patience because, and again, I know nobody likes to hear this, and I'm really not going to go into it today. 2019 is going to be a bad year. It's going to be a rough year. It's not going to be a fun year to be a fan of the Miami Dolphins. And you got to have patience. You're going to have to sort of suck it up and get through the next calendar year, and the goal is 2020. Again, no head coach in this league gets a pass for 3-4 years. You just don't. But for 1 year, you know, Flores, he gets sort of, he gets hit the reset button. It's tough to grade him on any results they have in 2019 because it's going to be a rough year. But, you know, you got to have patience if you're a Miami Dolphins fan. You got to have patience. And this is going to be, they're going to tear this down from top to bottom, this organization. And, you know, it's going to be a big undertaking. They're going to have to run off some guys that are familiar faces that we have been accustomed to seeing week in and week out for many years, and they're going to be gone. And it's, you know, you're going to have to accept that. We all have to accept that. But we'll see. At the press conference today, which for those of you who have never been to the facility in Davie, Florida, that's where it was held, and in the room where they hold the press conference, on the walls, they're draped with photos of the current Miami Dolphins players. The current Miami Dolphins players. All the big names. All the big names. You know who they are. And according to Barry Jackson, two people did not have their photos up on the wall. I will read you the names who had their photos up on the wall, and then we'll talk about the ones that didn't. The ones who did were Laremy Tunsil, were Jason Sanders, were Kenyon Drake, were Jerome Baker, Minkah Fitzpatrick, and Jakeem Grant, as well as Chris Greer. Now, what two names? Now, you could say, God, all those names I expect to be on the team next year. Those are all younger players, guys we're probably not going to move on from. I expect them all to be on the team next year. Who are the two people, the most prominent people, who aren't on the walls, who you think would be? Well, number one's Ryan Tannehill, but we sort of, not much of a shock because, you know, he's gone. He ain't coming back. The other one would be Xavien Howard. And Xavien Howard's picture wasn't on the wall, which, again, leads into the speculation. What will the Miami Dolphins do with Xavien Howard, you know, this offseason? And as I said, and as I have been saying, if I'm the Miami Dolphins, even in a bad rebuilding year where you're going to sort of blow it up, you got to pay somebody. And if you're not going to pay a guy like Xavien Howard, someone who you drafted and who you developed, if you're not going to pay him, who are you going to pay? Who are you going to pay? Because if you don't retain the guys you draft and the guys you develop, which is the key in the NFL, you draft guys, you develop them, and then you make them the part of your team that you win with. And I know it's a reset, it's a clean start, and you have a Miami Dolphins franchise that I won't say is cheap, but they have a history of not wanting to pay big money to guys, their own guys at least. Now, they'll go out there and buy a suit. They'll go out there and overpay for this guy or that guy. But when it comes to their own guys, they're more than willing to let them walk. And I think that's a mistake this time with Howard. I don't know what's going to happen. And again, this might be reading way too much into pictures on the wall. It really may be. It may be. But then again, if you look at the names they have up there, they're all names of guys who will be here next year. Laremy Tunsil ain't going nowhere. Drake probably ain't going nowhere. Jason Sanders, he ain't going nowhere. Minkah Fitzpatrick, he ain't going nowhere. Jakeem Grant ain't going nowhere. Chris Greer ain't going nowhere. Jerome Baker ain't going nowhere. The guys who weren't up there, who are big name guys, Rashad Jones, Wake, and Xavien Howard. Read into that what you will. Time will tell. And we'll know over the next, you know, 6, 7, 8 weeks. But just thought that was interesting and worth mentioning because, God, I think, as I've been saying, we're in for a shakeup here. We are in for a shakeup here this offseason with the Dolphins. And I think some of you fans really, I think a small percentage of the fan base is ready for it, is prepared for it, and will not be shocked by any news. I unfortunately think a big segment of the fan base, who I interact with via email, social media, all stuff, I think a lot of you guys got your head in the sand, and I think you're going to be shocked by a lot of the news and transactions we see over the next few weeks. So, again, it might mean nothing, but that was what was hanging on the walls today at the facility in Davie, Florida, when it comes to the current players. Who was up there and who wasn't? And me, I think you can read a little bit into that, just a little. I won't read too much into it, but we'll see. So that's pretty much it. We'll have shows the rest of the week talking about when the Miami Dolphins have some news. And I do have some guests lined up for later in the week as well. But I want to talk about the Super Bowl here at the end before we wrap up. And the Super Bowl, not shocked, because when I had on Antoine Staley last week and we spoke about the game, I said, I think the Patriots are going to win. I think the game is going to be slow and boring. And that's exactly what I said to Antoine. And You know, that's exactly what it was. It was a slow, boring game. Nothing happened. New England was going to win. It'd be a ho-hum win for the Patriots. And, you know, I didn't expect it to be this low scoring, but I thought it would just be, you know, a ho-hum win with not much happening. And really, not much happened. The Rams, to their credit, showed up on defense. They rattled Brady. They did what they had to do to win the game. In that, they made Tom Brady uncomfortable in the pocket. They made him move, and they made him rush his throws. And aside from Edelman, they pretty much took out every other Patriots receiver in this game, including the running backs like White. Gronk really only made one play, I would say. They took everyone else out. So they played a perfect game on that side of the ball. Wade Phillips, tip your cap to him. He called a brilliant game. The other side of the ball was an utter disaster. Jared Goff looked like he wasn't even interested in this game. Every time they showed him on the sideline, he's sitting on the bench, staring at the Jumbotron. Looks like, you know, no emotion. No, it's a Super Bowl. The guy looked like he didn't want to be there. And then when he was on the field, you know, between him and Sean McVay, they couldn't get the plays in. They were always consistently snapping the ball with the play clock running down from 5, 4, 3, 2, 5, 4. So get the play and run a play. Snap the ball with 10, 15 seconds on a play clock. It just seemed like they were all out of sorts. And, you know, as I said on social media after the game, they can stop the construction in Canton, Ohio on the wing of the Hall of Fame for Sean McVay. Because Sean McVay coached a god-awful game. He was so bad. He was so bad in this game. I don't know what the hell he was. I have no idea what he did for 2 weeks. I have no idea what the game plan was. And I don't know what they were trying to do with the Rams on offense. None of it made sense. Part of it was on the quarterback Goff. You can't hide when you have a quarterback who plays that bad. And Jared Goff was bad. There's no way around it. He was bad. But, you know, the Rams were just outplayed. And they still had a chance to win the game. They still had a chance to win the game late. They still did, but, you know, it is what it is. And when it comes to the Patriots, look, they got six. Tip your cap to them. And I will say this. They got six Super Bowls. The last three, at least, I'll say. Three. A lot. They caught every break in the buck. And you look at the game against Atlanta, they're down 28-3. Atlanta couldn't put them away. For some reason, they're passing the ball. That's a game where Atlanta lost the game instead of the Patriots winning the game. You got the game against Seattle where all they had to do was turn the hand off to Lynch. Again, that's a case of Seattle losing the game and not New England winning the game. And then even last night with the Rams, I mean, they deserve to win. I'll give them that. But it's like, if first off, they shouldn't have been playing the Rams. If they're playing the Saints probably win that game. That's number one. Number two, you know, the Rams just did nothing on offense. And you can give some of the credit here to Flores, who coached a heck of a game on that side of the ball. Take off your cap to him. But, you know, the Rams just were lost, confused, and just didn't have a lot of emotion. They didn't play like it was a Super Bowl. They treated that game, I think at least, just sitting home watching it. That was just like watching a game in, you know, October. It was nothing special. Nothing special at all. But, you know, they got six to Patriots. They won again. I actually do think, though, you know, and excuse me. They've been walking around saying, you know, no, everyone wrote us off. Nobody had any faith in us, blah, 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 which is all a bunch of horse crap. Nobody wrote them off. I do think this was probably the last one, just because this year for them was more of a challenge over the course of the regular season. That's number one. Number two, the AFC East is on the rise. The Jets and the Bills got two young quarterbacks who are ready to make their moves in this league, and I think they're gonna give New England fits here the next few years as they improve. And I also think that, you know, Father Time is just working against guys like Tom Brady. I think Gronkowski, maybe he comes back, maybe he doesn't. If he does, he is not the same player he was. That is very clear. He is a shell of his former self. And Tom Brady, you know, he's still Tom Brady, but he did not play well in this game last night. The game against the Chiefs, you know, he had his moments where he was good. But, you know, I mean, I just think this is coming to the end here. I think it's coming to the end. Look, they might still win the AFC East for another year or two. But when it comes to Super Bowls, and winning the whole thing, I think this might have been the last one for him. Just my opinion. Look, they go out and win another next year. Would I be stunned? No. Would I be stunned? No. I just don't see it. So that's all I have for today's show. We will have shows here the rest of the week. Expect a lot of breaking news when it comes to the staff the Miami Dolphins are putting together. And also, do not be shocked here in the coming weeks here if the Miami Dolphins start toying with the roster and starting to release players, maybe. They can't make any trades or anything until March and the start of the new league year. But I wouldn't be shocked if they start to let some guys go here because, there's going to be a lot of changes. There's going to be a lot of changes with this Miami Dolphins roster. And once Brian Flores gets his staff in place and they start to review tape, and they will review every game of last year, and they will work with Chris Greer in the front office, I would not be shocked here to start seeing in the coming weeks some small moves. And we'll probably hear leaks, and there'll be rumors of the big moves that we will expect to happen come March. So that, I think that's going to start to happen more. You might not see anybody released right now, but you will start to hear leaks and rumblings and rumors of what the Miami Dolphins will do in March with the start of the new league year, who's going to be coming, who's going to be going, and all that good stuff. So everyone, please be sure to check out the website, DolphinsTalk.com. Follow me on Twitter, @DolphinsTalk. And if you want to send me an email, I can be reached at DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. Again, I know everyone who listens to this show is not on social media. And for those of you who do want to interact with me, or if you have a question, I can be reached at DolphinsTalk1977@gmail.com. Everyone have a great day, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.